After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in half. And when birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram. And behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. And I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age. And they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, and the Cadmonites, the Hittites, and the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Here ends the reading.
Praise be to God for His word. You know, in Southall, there's a thriving business that has just come up. I don't know if you have noticed. It was a former snooker club, a huge space, probably going all the way from this hall to the back, huge space. But it was derelict. It was empty. And probably only things that lived in it were pigeons making a lot of mess. So over the last year, somebody has bought this substantial land and building and renovated it. And guess what has come up there? It's called Deposit House. Deposit House. So there are almost literally tens of thousands of small dabba boxes. And you get, if you got something big, like lots of diamond and gold and silver, you will buy one of those boxes, I don't know how many pounds a year, and you will get a key. And then they go and store it in there. People are looking for security. They look for security in all kinds of things. It could be family, it could be career, it could be wealth, like last week we saw. It could be possessions, houses, or even gold and silver. Or it could be even like power. I want to be the most famous person. I want to be the best. I want to be the superstar in all things. People look for security in a lot of things. And things go pretty well as long as all the safe boxes are good and well kept. But things can go really chaotic. And you can feel life out of control when there is a sense of loss. A loss of control over things is foreign to us. Foreign to us as unbelievers, as a fallen nature. It leads to fear and disbelief. So here we see now a story in Abraham's life. As we have been looking, he had a great darshan, a great vision of the Lord in the shires of Iraq, southern Iraq. And God moved him. And God said, I will make you a great nation. God said something of this. Go from your country, your kindred, your father's house, to the land I will show you. You know, you call faith. That's what is called faith. Just say God's word, and he moved. And he says, God says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families will be blessed. So Abraham was God's instrument of blessing the whole world. And last week we saw how in a part of Abraham's story that Barry shared, how Abraham and his nephew Lot had accumulated lots of riches, wealth beyond human imagination. You know, they were literally rolling in dosh. You know, they were rolling in cattle and sheep and lots of servants. They had tension over this wealth. Their servants fought to the point that they had to be separated. And we learned last week from Barry that man's life does not depend on possessions. Wealth does not ultimately define us and fulfill us. But we need the Lord who grants all the riches. If you have the Lord, you have everything. And we saw how Abraham chose the Lord and was further blessed. So from chapter 13, we have chapter 14. And that's a sort of a crisis moment for Abraham. There is a problem. There is a struggle that has to do with fear. See, Abraham became very powerful. As we saw with riches, but we see with power. He had substantial, if you can say, clout, means to do warfare. His nephew Lot got captured by a clan. And when he found out, this was a huge clan. There were actually five clans that had gotten together. So five huge clans gathered and had taken Lot away. And Abraham sends only 318 soldiers, his servants. Most of these were shepherds. And I wonder how they were trained to be the caliber of soldiers as much as like Navy SEAL to defeat five clans and bring Lot back. It just shows the staggering power of Abraham. He was a force to reckon with. He was a superpower in that time. 10 years on from Ur, settling in Canaan, Abraham was a power to reckon with. But Abraham could easily, as it were, stoop, spiral downward into a self-confident life, into a life apart from God, into a life that says everything went well. He could only rely on his, like last week, wealth, or this week, his power. He could get on with his abilities. So today we see this in our story of Abraham's life. The word of the Lord comes to him in a vision. Genesis 15:1. The word of the Lord comes to Abraham in a vision. And the first word that God mentions is, fear not, I am your shield, your reward, which shall be very great. The first word is, fear not. Daro mat. Cease being filled with a life of fear. So even in all these things, Abraham was struck down with fear. He was a powerful man. He is struck with fear. Now, I can only guess that Abraham took his sight away from the Lord for that moment. He saw all these victories and spoils that he was gathering. And suddenly he was afraid that the Lord had to confirm again in a vision. He had to continue to give darshan to Abraham that he will walk with him. He had turned his eye away. He had been filled with fear. And there, in our words, the fear is coupled with an unbelief. See what it says in further in that verse. He says, unbelief, avishwas. Abraham ko darai o dar gaya. Or wo be iman, avishwas karne laga. He was filled with doubt too. He talks to God and he says, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household, that is a servant, literally a servant, maybe a head servant, he will be my heir. You know, 10 years on, the Lord said, I will make you, I'll bless you with a family, and I will bless you with many descendants. 10 years on, there's nothing. That has not come to fruit. So Abraham is sinking in fear and he's sinking in doubt, unbelief. So here is what God does to him. God speaks to him there. We have that verse. Verse 4. The word of the Lord came to him. See how repeatedly the Lord has to come to him. And he says, this man, Eliezer, shall not be your heir, but your very own son, he will be heir. And to couple that, he takes him out. He takes Abraham out. Usko bahar nikala. Aur dekha. See the sky. Abraham, see the sky? Look at the stars in the sky. And so shall your offspring be. Your descendants shall be as that. Abraham was filled with fear, but he meets God in the midst of that. You see, fear, there can be a good fear. Fear can often, sometimes you crisis comes, you start leaning on people, you're asking questions, you start praying. We have had lots of prayer here. We have prayer saying, God help me. But also fear can become destructive if it is only on the problem. If we focus on the problem, we start saying, who controls us? Or what is controlling us? Where can we find power? Who is in ultimate control over all these things? Because we have no control over our circumstances. You know, there can be an accident, there can be ill health, there can be an issue with immigration, your PR status is not moving any further, any faster. What is this? We are not in control of circumstances. And we can have often good or bad, difficult circumstances. We can even have our talents and gifts sometimes go up and down. So we need to know what is the ultimate, where do we find the ultimate resources, the ultimate power? Because we are not, these things are not the ultimate things in life. The ultimate one is the Lord Himself. So when fear grips us, what will happen? We'll lose sight to live out the life that Jesus calls us, the life as God's children. We will fail to love God fully, and we will fail to love our neighbors fully, because we have been gripped by fear, and we have been sidetracked because of unbelief. And fear then will take over, and often we will, as it were, turn on our enemies or even our friends. We will turn on to them by resorting to manipulation. We are playing the chalbaji. How can I get out of it? How can I get more? Or we can resort to intimidation tactics. Intimidation, fear. Or we can play the cultural card. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know how old I am? Don't you know what I've done for this community? We can play all those cards. You see, in political realms, in political situations, leaders who are often led by fear or gripped by fear, a whole life of fear, they will resort to this. You will see, you can read it in history. They will resort to cruel and brutal oppression of anyone that threatens them. But this is not the counterculture, subversive nature of being a disciple of Jesus, which says, even love your enemies as yourself. You see, this is played out in the life of Nelson Mandela. When he was in prison, he couldn't do anything. His parties were doing things. Nelson Mandela is the first president of South Africa who recently.
But he was in prison for 22 years. And when he was released, he
went to his people, often in jugis, often in slums, and he saw them even turning on each other, let alone trying to resolve things with the white South African. And when he went to the place, he was given a note. He was given a very small note by a lady who had just seen a massacre of her children and probably her husband. She was given a note, Mandela, or I don't know whether it mentioned, he said something like, give us arms now so that we can fight. After 22 years, he has just been released, and he gets this note, and he's starting a fresh bar of measures with the government to freedom for all, equality for all. As it were, harassed. So Mandela, in the speech, he says this to his own people. There is no other way, only the way of peace. We cannot resort to arms and violence. And then he meets with his white counterpart, the South African government. He says, brothers, I have seen what fear has done to you. He uses some of these words. He says, I know what fear has done to you, that now you are gripped by them because you are resorting to cruel and brutal ways of squashing the voice of freedom, the people of South Africa, the black people of South Africa. So friends, we can see fear can grip. It can completely destroy. But here we have midst of for Abraham, we have the sure word of God that gives him resources, that gives him some kind of direction. See what it says there. The word of the Lord came to him, right? We saw that. The word of the Lord says, I am your shield. I am your reward. And then Abraham's given this word to affirm his faith in God, that God will ultimately bring all things to pass. The word of the Lord came to Abraham. The Lord gives Abraham his name and his resources. That's what we look at. Fear not. I'm will make you great. And God gives him that assurance that he will bring his purposes to pass. But look with me in that same verse as you look at the promise, the powerful word of God. You know, Abraham's given this huge promise, I'll bless you, I'll make you a family, a father of many nations. In you, all family will be blessed. In verse 13, this is what the Lord says to Abraham. Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in that is not theirs. They will be servants there. They will be afflicted for 400 years. I will bring the judgment on that nation that they serve, and after they will come out with great possessions. As for you, you will go to your father, and you will be buried in good old age. That you shall come here in the fourth generation for the iniquity, the sin, or the enmity of the Amorites towards the Holy God is not yet complete. You know, you would have thought, God, make it easy, isn't it? Abraham needed, he was sinking with fear and unbelief. Make it easier to Abraham that he can believe God. He can turn to him. But here we see a hurdle is piled up. You will have descendants, but what is going to happen to the descendants? What is going to happen to Abraham's people or his clan? They're going to be slaves 400 years. And they will be cruelly treated, afflicted. They will be in gulami, like slaves. So people have thought, hang on, God, make the word easy to follow you. But God does that. God gives him the reality, a reality check of whom he is choosing, of whom he is calling to himself. And we are told Abraham believed God. It is in verse 6. Abraham believed the Lord, and it was counted to him as righteousness. So Abraham, in midst of the staggering promise, huge promise, and the great obstacle, the hurdle, he believes God. Now, do you think for a moment Abraham would have had enough in himself to say yes to God? I don't think so. It was the work of God in his life that said, you are coming now along with me. You are putting your lot, your life, and your plan in mind. So he's given this gift of righteousness. He sang about it. It's Dharmi Therana. Dharmi Therana means God is now reconciled to man. We have a perfect relationship with God. We have perfect standing before a holy God, before the Lord Almighty. We have a rest and a welcome to God. But it also promises that this God will go along with us in life's struggles. He will go along with us in the midst of fear, in the midst of unbelief, in the midst of us. His powerful word will make us strong in these struggles. We trust God, who is the powerful one, and we follow. So Abraham's faith is strengthened there. So Abraham has this crisis, fear and unbelief. Abraham receives God and receives afresh the vision of his promise. He sees the powerful God. His faith is strengthened. Uska vishwas Prabhu ne takda banaya. Because Prabhu, kyunki Prabhu khud shaktiman Prabhu hai. You know, we sing that other song, shaktiman. Unequal, powerful God, Lord. So Finally, we look at here is God gives him a faithful promise. A faithful promise. What does God do? God says, Abraham, look, go get yourself some kurbani, sacrifice. Go get some bird, some cattle, some goats, bakri, some turtle, some pigeons, and bring them and cut them. So he cuts all these five animals, except for the pigeon, the dove. And he cuts them and he lays them before that. And probably he's exhausted. Well, he's exhausted and stressed out over all the fear and unbelief. He falls asleep. So gaya. But neend mein, while he was sleeping, he faintly saw a fire, a smelting pot, it says. It says there in verse Abraham, there was a smoking fire pot, verse 17. And behold, it was dark. Behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. And then the word of the Lord said, that day the Lord said, made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your offspring I will give this land from all the enemies that are going to pursue you. He gives almost 8 or 10 clans there again. Massive clans, big people. So while the fire is gone, Abraham is assured of the faithful God. Abraham is assured of this faithful God who is going to keep him. The faithful God who makes a covenant, who makes a promise. Prabhu Khudavan ne vada kiya, uska wafa ahad. Ahad, covenant, ahad. It's a faithful, because God is faithful. Wo khud, Prabhu, Khudavan, wafa dar. He is faithful. So he will make a promise that will not fail. Now there are several things in this promise. For a starter, it is between a great party. In this case, the Lord himself, Yahweh, and his disciple or his child, Abraham. So a greater party with a smaller person, one who needs that assurance. Then it is, secondly, there is a obligation or conditions. That if you do this, you get blessing. If you don't do that, you get shrap, curse. Dono saath jata hai. Ashirwad, barkat, or shra. Curse. And third, it is like a ring, you know, it's stamped approval with the sacrifice that is consumed. The Lord himself consumes the sacrifice. But here is the nutshell of this. It says there in that verse 18, on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your offspring, I will give this land. And he mentions all this. And the word that Lord made, the word made is cut a covenant, a promise. Now, you know, if we do something, if there's something serious and you're doing it with a friend and you say, and you want him to see that you are serious about doing this thing or seeing it through, what would you do? You will swear, isn't it? You will swear. Manka sogan khanda. Isn't it? I swear by my mother, you'll do this or something like that. You are trying to say, this is serious. I will see it is done. Probably not expecting your mother to die or something like that, but you are serious. Or in marriage vow. Marriage. What will we say? I take you, Marianne, to be my wife.
No? Okay.
No. Yes, it's every day. But this is what you will say to have. To have. It is an everyday thing. To have and to hold. From this day forward, for better, for worse, for poorer or richer, for sickness or health, to love and to cherish from this day forward. Finish it. Till death do us part. So you are pledging a loyal, faithful love unto death. And even it may be with your death, I will love you. With my death, I will love you unto that. So you're pledging a faithful, permanent love towards the other. And God does the same way here. He gives that faithful love towards his people. He binds himself with this promise, this agreement, that he will keep his end of the deal. You see, there's a condition, as I said, blessing and cursing. Now, who is the likely party who is going to fail here? There is the Lord, and there is Abraham and all his descendants. Who is the likely party to fail in this? It's Abraham. It's no brainster. You can speak, you know. We are at Masiga. You can speak. Abraham is undoubtedly and the most certain person who is going to fail. As a matter of fact, when Abraham sees this promise, he knows he has already failed. We have seen the story so far. He has done, you know, some stupid and foolish things. He has failed. So what happens to Abraham? What should happen to Abraham? Should he be really blessed? Or should he be cursed? Should a pronouncement of judgment and death, like those animals that has happened, be upon him? Of course, he should die. Like the Qurbani of the bear and the bakri. He can't live. He can't live. He has to die. But God says, I will give you this land and your offspring to you and your offspring. So how is God going to fulfill this? If Abraham is going to wreck it already. He's going to just destroy it. He's already done it. Where does it come? It comes. You see, the question here is, listen to this question. Where then can Abraham and his descendants, that is the whole world, find safety, true security, from the disaster to failing to keep their end of the promise or their part of the promise? Where is he going to find the true security? Abraham or uska santan ko safety, salamati kithe milegi? He will find it in his descendant, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Abraham's descendant was Jesus. Jesus, the Messiah, came from Abraham's line. And Jesus is the perfect God. And he is the full human. As the hymn says, or carol, God of very God, light of very light. He despised not the woman, the virgin's womb, but in taking humanity. He is very God, begotten and not created. Here is Abraham's descendant who fulfills that promise. So voila, both parties have won. Both parties have won. God has won because he's going to bless. He's not going to curse. He's going to fulfill the promise. But Abraham has won too. Why? He is his descendant. The covenant is the covenant of the Lord. The promise of the Lord that he cuts or he makes on that day. Jesus as fully God perfectly obeys God. And Jesus as fully human, yet without sin, perfectly loves all mankind, including the enemy. Jesus takes the judgment and death that is due to the disobedience of Abraham. Samajpay, did you get this? This is important. The descendant of Abraham, Jesus, takes the curse. He becomes a curse in our place so that we can have all the blessings. We can have all the blessings. I'll just read to you this final verses. As Jesus was on the final day, on the night of his betrayal, this is the words that Jesus says. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "This is my body broken for you or given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, he took the cup after he had eaten. They had eaten. He said, "This cup is poured out for you. It is the new covenant in my blood." That's what Luke says, and Matthew adds this. "It is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." So in Jesus is the new covenant that fulfills the both obligation, full obligation of that promise. God will bless. But God has also taken in himself, that is in Jesus, the curse of us all, so that we can have life. We can have the ashiva, the blessing, just like Abraham. You know, we talk to our Punjabi friends. We show them a picture in the street. This is the picture we show them usually. Usually Punjabi Sikh background. Is the foot on the rakshas, on the snake. The foot is trampling the snake. And I did this, and the sort of the shin, just at the bow, we put a cross. So the cross, the Christ, the Messiah, has crushed the head of the serpent, or the rakshas. Pun rakshas kakata sisa. Sri Jagat ke Isa. Isn't it? The Lord Jesus of the whole world, he has, as it were, slain the head of the devil. And that's what it is. Jesus invites you and I to take this, the blessing. You know, you and I can have this blessing. You know, it is God, it is really Jesus calling us all now. Will you, will I put my life in his hands? Or will I want to live with fear and unbelief? He alone has the ultimate power. Prabhu Yesu khud shakti man batera hai. He has won victory over sin, death and devil. And he calls us now, will you turn to me? Tusi mere kol आओगे, आएगे, यीशु की कोल जाएंगे हम. So he invites us to receive this gift, the gift of righteousness. And he, because of his work, he has, as it were, taken away all the curse. You see, it is humanly impossible to fulfill, but God fulfills it because of his greater, Abraham's greater descendant, that is Jesus the Messiah. Will we, like Abraham, now go to this God, go to Jesus, and say, "I take you as my Savior and my Lord," and thus be the true children of Abraham? Thank you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this story of a great promise, which has got many conditions of blessing and curses. Thank you, Lord, that you, as the Lord of heaven, have fulfilled it in your own person. The Father gives the Son as a sacrifice, the Son, the Lord Jesus, that we may be drawn into that family of Abraham by faith and live a life of blessing. So we thank you. Bless Masigar, bless us as your family. Bless this community, and bless this world that needs this promise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.